You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at RedRock_Bball. Today, we're going to be looking at some waiver wire ads who could be available in your leagues and doing a fantasy check-in on three teams across the NBA, the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Michael Bolton's ready early.
Let's get to it.
All right, guys, let's take a look at some players who could be available on your waiver wire who can provide either short-term or potentially long-term value to your fantasy team. We'll start with some of the bigger news, and that's, of course, the John Wall injury. And that opens up massive value for Tomas Satoransky. Now, Satoransky last season, when Wall missed 2 months of action through January through to March, Satoransky was the 54th ranked player in that time. Elite percentages, he was getting steals, assists, he was hitting threes. You're putting up some really, really strong numbers, and that makes him, to me, a must-add player across every single 12 and deeper league, and probably, to be honest, if you're getting a top 50 player or top 60 player, and maybe that's aggressive, let's say top 75, top 80 player, that's a must-add 10-team league guy as well. Now, the last two games that Wall has sat out, it's been fluctuating value from Satoransky, but the game against Chicago, you can look at it, and many people did. Oh, he sucks. He only scored 9 points. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block, and that gave him around top 75, top 80 type of value for that one game. And then the next game against the Hornets, he had 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists, which was a marginally better game. This is what this guy can do. He shoots an excellent percentage. He is not a high usage guy. He's at 13.5% this season, and that might bump a little bit with Wall out, but that's not really where his value comes from. It's elite free throws. It's high field goal percentage, good steals, good assists, hits some threes. He is a value player. Now, I don't think he gets back to being a top 54 guy that he was last season when Wall out. I think he is a comfortable top 100 guy with clear top 70 type potential. And he needs to be grabbed. It's as simple as that to me, that you need to grab Satoransky. Thomas Bryant, another guy in the Wizards who's putting up some good numbers. He is another guy that we have to look at. Now, there's a little bit of a different situation. He gets no extra minutes because John Wall is out, in my opinion. That's not how this works. But what he can get is he gets extra opportunities, perhaps with usage. But the big one there with Bryant is getting extra minutes or extra playing time, which is minutes, of course, if Markieff Morris is out. Now, Markieff is dealing with a back issue at the moment, a back and neck issue, and he's gone to see a specialist. So if Markieff Morris misses time, then Bryant's value, it jumps significantly. The last couple of games for Bryant have been pretty strong. He played 36 minutes against the Hornets and 30 against the Bulls, both games without Markieff out. But let's rewind it. The game before, when Morris played against the Pistons, he played 13 minutes and had 7 points. The game before that, 18 minutes. And the game before that, which is another game that Morris fouled out of, he played 36 in that triple overtime game against Phoenix. So we can see a clear pattern there in what Thomas Bryant does, in that the minutes are huge when Morris is out, and when Markieff plays, the minutes drop back down. You've also got to incorporate Otto Porter into that, and yes, they don't play the same position, but with Porter playing the four, it means Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
He gets more minutes at the five as well, which could impact Tom. Now, in terms of his overall numbers, over the last 2 weeks, he's playing 24 minutes a night. He's a top 125 player, which is pretty strong. You know I like this guy. He can hit threes. He's a high-efficiency scorer who can block shots. I just worry about where these minutes are going to go. And looking back at these last two games, is all well and good and all, you know, worth looking at and going, well, that's fantastic, but it is going to be really dependent on what happens with Markieff and whether Markieff actually plays or not, because if he is out, then that's massive value there coming in for Bryant. If Morris is in, then it does put the clamps on, as we've seen over this last week. We've got pretty clear evidence, a 5-game sample size, but it's pretty clear evidence nonetheless. So that is that is worth looking at and worth thinking about, but you don't want to take too many chances on letting a guy like Bryant slide, especially if you have an option to, and that's why your streaming spots are important, to make those decisions. Kyle Anderson is still available in 38% of leagues. I'm going to keep banging on about this. He needs to be rostered in every single league. I don't know why he's still available in that many. And the next guy, the next flavor of the month is Justice Winslow, who over the last 2 weeks has been ridiculous as a top 25 player, averaging 19.6 rebounds, 5 assists. There are a couple of things there unsustainable. 56% shooting is not real from Justice Winslow. I think we're all aware of that. He's also getting 2.3 steals per game. This is a guy who is quite up and down. I'm not making any decisions on Justice Winslow based on the fact that Goran Dragic is going to come back at some point, which of course he is. But these numbers here from Justice at the moment, they're just a little bit unsustainable in terms of that value because he's not going to shoot this well. And we've seen Spoelstra be inconsistent with giving playing time to Winslow at times. And his assist numbers haven't necessarily been superb, although you know 5 a game is pretty strong. That 56% for a guy who's a 60% free throw shooter during that same time is unlikely to stick. But you know, grabbing Justice Winslow with that clear top 100 upside, I would probably have Winslow over Satoransky, to be honest. But of course, you're dealing with different types of players, both point guards, but one of them is going to have more fluctuations in his field goal percentage and probably score a bit more, and that's Winslow. And the other one, you get more solid percentages with lower scoring. And that's, again, always about looking at how your team is and how it fits. But to be fair to Winslow, he is a 48% shooter over his last 13 games, which is clearly an improvement on where he's been at other points during his career. So that is worth noting, worth mentioning for Justice Winslow as an option to pick up. So he is definitely a 12-team league guy on the radar at the moment. Mikal Bridges of the Phoenix Suns has snuck himself into the top 60 by scoring under 10 points per game. How's he doing that? You may ask, or you may not, but I don't care because I'm going to tell you anyway. 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block per game on 49 and 86%. That is the definition of an under-the-radar Kyle Anderson type of fantasy producer. He is a guy who has, to me, distanced himself from Kelly Oubre and Josh Jackson, if not in terms of their on-court play, but their fantasy value. He's getting more minutes than these dudes almost every game. And those hard-to-find categories, those triple-one type numbers that we're getting from Mikal Bridges are really useful, and I do think that he does have some 12-team league value. Anytime you can be a top 60 player by scoring 9 points per game, then you're providing numbers in those other areas. And it's not coming on 60% shooting. It's not coming on stupid, unsustainable numbers. Here, 1.9 steals is high, but is that unrealistic to think that that could continue to happen? It's probably a little bit unrealistic, but it's not crazy. 1.9 steals, many people have done that for full seasons in the NBA. So no reason that Bridges couldn't keep something close to that as we move forward. But to me, he is a pretty strong add in fantasy leagues. Another guy who we haven't talked about much, but he is a must-add guy who's available still in 31% of leagues, Jeremy Grant of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's a top 75 guy over the last 2 weeks. He's blocking shots. The field goal percentage is nice. He's hitting threes at a much better rate than what he has in the past. And I think that's all very relevant in terms of looking at what he is able to achieve for your fantasy team. He is rock solid. No one's taking his minutes. I don't see massive amounts of regression coming from Jeremy Grant. To me, he's a guy that should be on a roster in all 12-team leagues. A guy I've got to talk about is Monty Morris, who's been really, really strong. The value for him is set to take somewhat of a tumble with the return of Gary Harris.
Nice, Gary!
The return of Fartin Will Barton, of course, and the eventual maybe, sometimes perhaps, return of Isaiah Thomas. Morris has been really, really strong. You're anchoring that Denver Nuggets backcourt and bench unit as well, one of the best bench units in the NBA. He has got short-term value, but as opposed to some of these other guys like Bridges, like Anderson, like Satoransky, the long-term value for Monty probably isn't there. The next player I want to talk about is more of a speculative type guy, but in saying that, Derek White is the 68th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. I've been saying for a while, I'm watching. He's doing it on 8.3 points per game. How? 4.3 assists, 1.6 steals, and 1.3 blocks. And lest you say that the blocks are fluky as a point guard, no. He is a extremely good shot blocker. Look at his numbers at Colorado. Look at his numbers for the Austin Spurs in the G League last season. This is a high-volume shot-blocking point guard. There are guys that do that. Dwayne Wade, John Wall, Josh Richardson, is all guards who get blocks, a lot of blocks. Derek White is one of those guys. So with his minutes feeling stable, now we can never put 100% trust on how Popovich is going to do that, but with White looking significantly better on the court, I talked him up quite a bit in the preseason. He got injured, came back, disappointed those first couple of games, but I said, you know, just going to watch him. I think he's going to be a top 100 guy at some point this season. That point in this season is now. So if you're looking to make a potential add on a guy who's going to be inconsistent, but you want to take that move and you want to see what's going on, you know, dropping, say, a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Derek White is absolutely a decision that I think can be made, and it's quite justifiable. Iman Shumpert, a guy that many people don't really pay too much attention to in fantasy. He is the 84th ranked player because he's hitting 3 threes per game and getting 1.3 steals. It's not coming on crazy percentages. His role seems fairly secure. So if you're looking for a guy to get you threes and steals, Shumpert can be that guy, as crazy as that feels to say. DJ Augustin, also a top 90 player. 15 points, 2 threes, 3.6 assists. His minutes and his production have boosted up in the last week or so. He's not a must-add player. I'd prioritize most of these other guys on the list ahead of him. White, Grant, Bridges, Winslow, Anderson, Bryant, Satoransky, all those guys I'd have over DJ, but he can have some solid value, and he's available in a lot more leagues than you might expect. 61% available over on Yahoo. Marvin Williams, another guy who's available in a few too many leagues, 48% to be exact, averaging 14-7 over his last six. His minutes are sky high, 35 a game. I don't think that's going to hold at that level, but weirdly, the Hornets did take Miles Bridges out of their rotation last game, so that's an interesting development. Williams is one of those guys, again, when you look at rankings and stuff, if you look at him in 9-cat, he looks elite, but when you're talking about a guy whose best category by a factor of 3 is turnovers, it does skew their values significantly, so he's not that guy. He's not a top 50, he's not a top 60 guy. He's more of a top 100, top 120 sort of a player who provides solid numbers, who can be quite inconsistent. But on the positive side, he's 81st over the last 2 weeks, despite shooting only 42% from the field. Marcus Smart, he's available in over 60% of leagues. He's a nice assists and steals guy. Yes, field goal percentage can be an issue. That's actually regressed over the last couple of weeks as well. He hits some threes. I don't think Jaylen Brown's getting that starting spot back from Smart at all this season. So Marcus is a guy that fits certain team builds. He's not going to be for everyone. I think we're well aware of that. But he is putting up some pretty strong numbers for this Celtics team and for fantasy leagues as well. Really got to be impressed with what Marcus Morris has been doing so far. The next guy we take a look at is, for some reason I've got Jeremy Grant there twice, so we're not going to look at him again. Let's talk about the last guy, the Cornetto, Luke Cornett of the New York Knicks. I don't know what Fizdale is going to do, because let's be honest, Fizdale doesn't know what Fizdale is going to do. But it does appear that Enes Kanter is really on the way out. Mitchell Robinson's return is a little bit worrisome in terms of what happens with the Cornetto's value here. But over his last two games, he's had 23 points with 7 triples and 5 assists, and then 14 points with 4 triples and 5 assists. Only one block in those games. He's a better shot blocker than that. But I don't think you can afford to leave that on the wire. I think there's a likelihood that Kanter is taken out of the rotation completely when Robinson returns. They're going to stick with Cornette as the starter for a short amount of time, but with Fizdale, nothing is permanent. Everything is subject to change, but he is absolutely worth taking a look at and seeing what happens. And I do think that in the end, what's going to happen with this team is we're going to have a Cornette-Robinson front court rotation, and Kanter's going to be traded, waived, sent home, shut down, whatever bullshit term that he wants to put on it. I don't think we're going to see Kanter as a regular member of this Knicks rotation moving forward. That'll do it for some waiver wire ads to talk about at the end of 2018, guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you all later. Fantasy check-in for the Miami Heat. Of course, the hot name there for the Heat is Justice Winslow, the starting point guard until Goran Dragic returns at least. He is putting up some strong numbers of late, good assist numbers. The high field goal percentage, though, is unsustainable. He is a must-add 12-team league play. The other guy who's putting up some numbers in Dragic's absence is Tyler Johnson, who is a top 100 player. I'm not as big on Tyler as being a must-add 12-team league guy as other people. He's averaging 15 points over the last 5 games. Some of those, or I think one or two of those, was without Winslow, and one of them was without, one was without Winslow, one was without Magruder. So that's skewed his numbers. I think he's more of a 23-minute-a-game guy. an 11-point player who does struggle in some of the other areas, and that probably, to me, pushes him out of must-add 12-team league territory, but the opportunity is there for him. Bam Adebayo had a strong game the other day, but recently his numbers had been well down, with Whiteside getting the majority of the center minutes. It's pretty hard to hold on to Adebayo and even Kelly Olynyk in 12-team leagues now that Whiteside is back. And the other guy that we need to talk about is James Johnson, who's pushing his numbers back towards what we've seen for the last couple of seasons. He looks healthier. The playing time is going up. Now, at the moment, he is dealing with an illness, which is costing him the Sunday's game. So that's a little bit of a concern there. But he is pushing back into that 12-team league territory. Far from a must-add player, there are other guys that I would add. Thomas Satoransky, Derek White perhaps, Thomas Bryant, Luke Kornet. Perhaps I'd add those guys over James Johnson. But he is a guy that is pushing back up into that top 100 territory. While Joshy Richardson, he's stabilizing in that top 50 zone. Now, the shooting's still an issue. The blocks aren't where they've been in the past, but his numbers are fairly strong, and they're relatively consistent, which is a pretty strong thing that you can hope for from your fantasy guys. All right, fantasy check-in for the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's start with Eric Bledsoe, a guy that many people are frustrated with because over the last 7 games, he's the 143rd ranked player, playing only 29 minutes per game. Now, a large portion of that is to do with some of the blowout victories the Bucks have had, but there's also some other things we've got to dig into with Bledsoe here, and why are his numbers so down? Well, the fact is that he is a high 40s field goal guy, normally 49-50% from the field, and that boosts his value way up. But over the last 7 games, he's down under 45%, including a putrid 22% from 3. He's also a guy that's around the 2 steals per game guy, and that's where his value comes from. But over the last 7, he's had just 7 steals in those games, and that's dropped his value way down. Throw in the fact that he's hitting just 0.7 threes per game, only 12 points, the minutes are down in that time as well, then it's a real disappointing performance. But to me, it's a massive buy low. He's not losing all these minutes to George Hill. I don't believe that's going to be a consistent thing. It's a slump in assists, it's a slump in shooting, and then the playing time will go back up and everything will be back to normal. So I think he's a really big buy low option here, Eric Bledsoe. Yanni's been pretty strong. The free throws are improving, and that's jumping his rank back up. Good blocks, great field goal percentage. Middleton had that little bit of a slump. He's sort of getting back on track as well. He's a top 50 player over the last 2 weeks, and Malcolm Brogdon returning from that hamstring injury. Just back doing what he was doing beforehand. He has been super impressive this season. I didn't think he'd be able to be as good as what he's been, but he has clearly exceeded that. While Brook Lopez, one of the best source of threes and blocks, is that combination that exists over the last 2 weeks. He's hitting over 2 threes and getting over 2 blocks per game. The field goal percentage is an issue, but he's putting up some pretty strong numbers. I've got to give a quick shout out to DJ Wilson, who's been admirably filling in for Ersan Ilyasova, averaging 7-7 with 0.7 blocks. The percentages need some work, but he's showing at least he can stick as an NBA rotation player. He doesn't have much fantasy value this season, because when Ersan is back, he's probably not going to remain in the rotation, is DJ, but he's shown enough to at least show that he shouldn't have his rookie option declined for the coming seasons. Fantasy check-in now for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Both of their point guards are out at the moment with ankle problems, Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
So that means we're going to get a slight opportunity here for Tyus Jones. Neither the Teague or the Rose injuries appear significantly serious, so Jones is just going to be a short-term guy. But if you need some help in assists and steals, with decent field goal percentage, Tyus can be that player. Karl-Anthony Towns, a little bit of a buy-low guy at the moment. He is the 30th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Only 19 points, 12 rebounds, 48 from the field and 76 from the line. This is a 56-85 type of a player, and you get 10 percentage point drops in both percentage categories. Well, it drops you by 20 spots in the rankings, which is exactly what's happened to Towns. It also impacts your threes. It also impacts your points per game, and we've seen that happen with him. So I think he's a pretty strong buy-low guy. Well, Robert Covington just doing what he does, getting still 2 steals per game, hitting 3 threes a game. The Dario Saric, Taj Gibson situation at power forwards rendering both of them useless for 12-team league guys. They're both around the top 150 mark in 24 minutes a night, but it's inconsistency. There's very little upside while both of them are playing like this, and they're more 14-team league guys than 10 or 12-teamers. Josh Okogie's had pretty solid minutes lately. He can't crack the top 250 in that. There is no reason to have him in any sort of 12 or 14 or probably 16 team leagues, although I do like him long term. While Andy Wiggins struggling again, the percentages are just absolutely murdering you. 39-72% from the field and from the line over his last 6 games. 18 points is nice, and then nothing else about what he does is nice. And he is veering almost into a points league only type of a guy because of all the negatives he has in category leagues. He's very Colin Sexton, Kevin Knox-like in that regard. And it is a real concern. And the fact that he just can't hit shots or free throws, for that matter, anymore is a really concerning thing. And then it does have a massive impact on his overall fantasy value. And that'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break edition, guys. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and make sure you guys have a happy and safe New Year's. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.